So we want to thank our sponsors in honor of the fourth Yahrzeit of Rabbi Chaim Eliezer Schertz, Chaim Eliezer ben Reb Moshe, by the Schertz family of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and his daughter and son-in-law, Sarah and Ronen Kori of Yerushalayim. So thank you for sponsoring this morning's event. And again, thank you to all the Nashim Tzidkaniyot, the holy women that came here today to share this time with us. I am also humbled that I'm speaking after the Machlis, the representation of the Machlis family. I had the privilege of being in the home many times, and it is an overwhelming experience of, you know, this unconditional love. You know, my talk today is about meeting people where they are. That's their whole essence, their every move in their lives. And, you know, and I say their lives, you know, it was a talk about Mrs. Machlis, but as any of us who know any of the Machlises, Mrs. Machlis, Rabbi Machlis, any of the children, it's something that everybody has a piece of in their lives. And we're very honored that we can all have a little glimpse of that and hopefully internalize that and bring that into our daily lives. So as mentioned, my name is Aliza Pilachowski. I live in Mitzpe Yericho. I am from all over the place, but I see my friends here from Boca Raton and from LA. So that's where we originally moved from. Shout out to all the other towns that we lived in: San Diego, California, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Dayton, Ohio, Muncie, New York. So anybody that's from any of those, we're all Landsleit. We're all from the same place. There's a nun who teaches CPE, clinical pastoral education. And the way that clinical pastoral education is it's usually a group of about seven people, and it's a very intimate group that, you know, you really work together for a very long time. So in that specific group, she had I think three Jews, and the other four were of other faiths. So the three Jewish representatives, there was a Reform female rabbi, a Chabad male rabbi, and a modern Orthodox male rabbi. And the three of them all looked very, very different. And they walk in the room, and nobody knows anybody, you know, it's all like, and they say, oh, where are you from? So they're like, oh, you know, in New York. So they're like, oh, Ramah, upstate New York? Yeah, we were there for the summer of the na-na. And then, and as they make all the connections of how they know each other, so the sister says, let me explain to you what it is with Jews and what needs to happen here. We as, she said, Jews, after the Holocaust, lost a sense of trust. And before we can connect and before we can feel comfortable with each other, we need to know that we have those points of connection. So we're just like, really? Like, that's what it's from. But in any case, I always love being in rooms where we feel those connections, and I'm sure that if we spent 1 minute with every single person here, we would find those points of connection. But seeing just the familiar faces is always a pleasant surprise. So today is Rosh Chodesh, and I grew up, my father he's an ish halacha. He's a Litvak. His father's from Lithuania. My brother is a Litvak. He likes to run things on time, as we have somebody to testify to that. And my husband as well. And I myself love it. I love halacha. I love, like, knowing, you know, times and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it and when we're supposed to do it. And that's one of the gifts of Rosh Chodesh, that we know exactly when and what and how. We see the moon, we know when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, and it's a very comforting feeling to know what's going to be. So it becomes this cycle, a natural but unnatural cycle. So Rosh Chodesh is going to happen whether you're ready or not on the first of the month, every single month. And we're all going to be there at that point. What I want to do, we are a very large group. So sorry. We are a very large group, so I'm not going to be able to hear the answers, but I want everyone, I'm going to ask three questions, and I want everyone to think for a minute. I'm going to give you a couple seconds to think afterwards, and I want you to think of where you are right now. And what I mean by that is I want you to think of the emotions and what you're holding with you right now. So that could be fear, happiness, joy, whatever you're coming in with this morning, right now, and where you are right now. So I want you to think, I'm going to be quiet for a couple of seconds, and I want you to think of what that emotion is. Okay, and now what I want each of you to do is think about where, feel better than think. I want you to feel where you were at 7:30 this morning. And what I mean by that is it doesn't need to be 7:30 this morning. It could, for some of us, that could be 5:30. And for some of us, that could be, you know, 10 minutes before we left the house. But whatever that means to you and where you were at that moment, identify that feeling. Okay, so hold on to that. We're going to put that on the side for a minute. The title of the talk today is Bikur Cholim, The Art of Meeting People Where They Are. So any of us that have studied psychosocial fields and specifically chaplaincy, you know, we really want to meet people where they are. But what the heck does that mean? Like, who are we? Who? It's not one thing. It's so many things. We are very, very complex. If we look in a very small way where we are right now and where we were at 7:30 this morning, those are two very different women. And as we travel and navigate through our days and our lives, those emotions and those feelings will change as we go through it. And that's the essence of meeting somebody where they are, recognizing yourself and recognizing them. So the whole idea of everything in life, first of all, is showing up. And if anybody gets anything out of today, I would say just show up. Be present. You yourself, recognizing who you are, bring yourself, and just be there. What you're going to do, how to do it, how to say it, what, we're all going to make mistakes, and we're all going to say things that are right or wrong or good or bad or however we're going to say it. But the act of showing up, what Hashem did when he visited Avraham was that he showed up. And that's what we need. That's our challenge in life, in every single encounter that we have with every single person, and al achat kama v'kama, even more so when it comes to Bikur Cholim, and we're going to be there at that point. So of course, you know, the first thing that I always love to turn to is, either we can call it from the Beatles, to every season, turn, or if we look at Kohelet, when it says, l'kolzman v'eit, l'kolzman v'kol chevetz tzarech ha-shamayim, and then it goes on and it talks about all the different times. And I like to categorize things, and it's very nice when everything fits into the times. So, you know, you have the eight, lasso, the eight, lismach, eight, snow. Those are powerful words and powerful feelings. You know, there's a time to love and a time to hate. To hate? Yeah, there is. And when you can identify those and really get there, that's what it's about. Halacha prescribes emotions and cycles unnaturally. So it's a strange thing that all of a sudden it's Rosh Chodesh and we're walking around saying Chodesh Tov. And, you know, my friend's father died suddenly last night. So it's a hard day to say Chodesh Tov, you know. And, you know, is it really a Chodesh Tov right now? Well, you know what? It is. It is. And that's what we're going to do. There's a mitzvah lismoach to be happy on Chagim. How are we going to get there? There is a mitzvah during fast days to mourn. Tisha B'Av is a sad, sad day. How do we get to those unnatural moments that are prescribed to us? And that's where the beauty of halacha comes in, is that it becomes these unnatural prescribed times that allow us to do that. We're going to get back to that as well very soon. The Rambam, when the Rambam describes Hilchot Bikur Cholim, which is also in Hilchot Avelo, which I have a whole other talk about that, but which I think is really the essence of Bikur Cholim, is that you know, visiting somebody who is sick is really an encounter of the fear of death and us recognizing that we are mortal and that there is this elephant in the room when we get sick, that people can die. And that's something that we need to recognize. And I think there's so much brilliance in the fact that Bikur Cholim falls into Avelut. But in Avelut, the theme of Avelut and the halacha is when you go and you visit in Avel, you don't talk. And you go in and you sit there. And that's the essence of Avelut. And what's your name? Judy said, we don't talk until they talk. And that's exactly it. We are going to meet people where they are. When we go and pay a shiva call, we're going to see the avel and we're going to wait. And any of us who have suffered any grief or any emotions, which is everybody in the room, we all know that emotions change, and even more so with grief. And it can be happiness, it can be joy, it can be sadness, it can be anger. All of these emotions are going to be a part of grief and a part of our lives. So when we walk into that shiva home, we're going to sit there. It's not about our feelings. It's about the avelut, the person that's sitting in shiva, and how they're feeling. So we're going to sit there and we're going to just be quiet. And we're going to feel what they are feeling. We're going to try to feel what they are feeling. When one of the hardest tasks and lessons that I learned as a chaplain was being quiet. And, you know, you walk into a shiva home and that super awkward silence. And when we lived in Boca, we suffered a loss of a 12-year-old girl, and the whole community suffered the loss together. Obviously, the family more profoundly. And when we go into those shiva homes, and I'm sure everybody has experienced this, and you hear the very ridiculous comments that people make, and you're like, Just be quiet, you know, just be quiet. And that blessing of sitting in silence. And some of the things that as a chaplain that we learn really give you the tools to get there. So we had this sedna, this workshop. Thank you. Seminar? Sedna? Yeah. And as for a bunch of chaplains, so there were about 30 of us, and we were standing in this like huge hall, and we had to walk around, and then after we were just aimlessly, and then she said, okay, stop, and then you had to move next to the person that was closest with you, and you had to stare at the other person, and you as partners, and you had to mimic the other person's facial expressions. It was probably one of the most intense activities that I have ever done. And and you're just mimicking the other person's emotions, and all of a sudden, well, facial expressions, but which is an expression of your emotions. And I started crying, and it was just so profound. And there are no words spoken, but you can feel somebody else. I had a patient in one of my nursing homes who only spoke Persian. Now, I lived in LA, and everybody in LA gets to learn at least 10 words in Farsi, and we all know how to make tadik and, you know, our little Persian things that we all pick up from the Persian community in LA, and that's about all I have. So I walk in, and so I have a patient who speaks Farsi, and I would sit with her because nobody sat with her because nobody could speak Farsi. And so I would walk in and I would say, Khubi, and then she would talk, and then I'd say, Juni, and that was basically our conversation. And after learning this tool, I started not talking and just letting her talk and mimicking her facial expressions. I don't know if I understood what she was saying, but I felt that I could. And I felt her happiness, her joy, her sadness, her frustrations. And we were able to connect on a completely different level. And I was mentoring a chaplain, and I was explaining to her, you know, she was telling me that she was working with somebody and she can't communicate so well. And I said, well, you know, the truth is, and I apologize in advance to everybody, I said, we're all liars. Everybody. How many people this morning, you know, said, how you doing? And you all said, great. And really, we all have like a whole list of like things that are going on in our lives that aren't great. And I don't mean it in a way that anybody here means to lie, but we all do. And for whatever reason, we it's more convenient to just say great than to say, well, you know, actually, you know. What? Very often that's also true, but also, you know, it's, you know, you don't have the time. People, and very often when people say, how are you doing, they don't really want to hear your answer. So, you know, I said, you're not going to necessarily, when you ask somebody how they are and they say, great, that's a, you know, we'll say that's a first level response. You know, it doesn't really mean anything until you dig a little deeper and you get to that answer. But when you can really look at somebody and really look into their eyes and you say, how are you doing today? And you give them that space, and you open yourself up to reflect that back to that person. I'm shuddering as I say it, because it's such a powerful moment when that happens, when you can really, really be in that space. When I can look into your eyes and I can say, how are you today? And I can hold and feel, hopefully, what the other person is feeling. And allowing yourself to be open to that. And that's what our goal is about trying to meet people where they are. I have a patient, her name is Shandy, and she says, and you know, we go in and I have all these like lofty plans as a chaplain and as a spiritual caregiver of where the conversation is going to go. And with our last conversation was about, you know, what life and death is and how she views that her death is going to be a feeling of coming home and being reconnected with her parents and her family. And I'm like all inspired, you know, to walk in to continue this conversation. And I walk in and I said, you know, how are you today? And she's like, Aliza, what's going on with Johnny Depp? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? So there's an actor, totally not... totally not a, whatever. There's this like whole messy lawsuit going on, whatever, with this actor named Johnny Depp. So I'm like, you know, I have to tell you, I really don't know. And she's like, you know, I just don't want to be in like in everything that's going on right now. I just want to talk about that. And that's what we did. She was good. She has a tablet and she's Googling it and we're talking about it and like talking, you know, like the way that like, you know, we did as teenagers about like the, you know, all the stars and like really getting into it and really understanding what's so upsetting about it. And like, you know, and I walk out of the room and, you know, and I need to reflect on like what just happened. And I'm like, you know what? That's meeting somebody where they are. What did I do as a chaplain? You know, you look at all the fancy words that we have and all the tools that we use and the diagnoses. And you know what? Sometimes we just don't want to talk about real things. And sometimes we want to just like escape. And I, as a chaplain on that day, met her where she was. And it wasn't about me. It wasn't about me and my plans and my fulfillment of this aha spiritual moment. But it was, you know, talking about all the nitty gritty of the hearings. I was listening. I was listening. And that's what she wanted. She needed a break. She needed, and that's where she was on that day. And that doesn't mean that tomorrow that's where she's going to be. It doesn't mean that that's where she is in an hour from now. At that moment, on that day, in that room, with me. And that's where we as the caregivers come into play. And that's where we need to say, we're going to walk into that Shiva house and we're just going to be quiet. And it's much more than being quiet. It's much, much more than that. It's saying, I'm open. I feel like, you know, poteach et yadecha, umasbia lechol chai ratzon. That's that, you know, that when we open ourselves up, it's much more than just giving. It's knowing what that person wants. And if we think about the machlises and like, you know, the grandiose of what they did, it's not about the chocolate ice cream or the pizza. It's really not. What the machlises do and what we strive for is we say, what are we here for? What does this person want and need? And it may be chocolate ice cream, and that's what we need to be there for. And it may be the hug that Mrs. Machlis would give, and it may just be, and most importantly, our presence. And that's what I mean by the one thing that I want you to take with you today is to show up. Be yourself, be there, and hold for somebody else. When we can hold another person's pain and another person's happiness and joy, we're all doing it together. The Gemara talks about that when you go to visit somebody who's sick, you take 1/60th of their pain away. What does that mean? What do you mean? You can't take somebody's sickness away. And certainly by walking into the room, you can't, somebody has cancer, you know, you're not going to take 1/60th of the cancer out of their body by walking into their room. But what you can do, and what I, how I understand that 1/60th is that it's very, very heavy. Illness and pain is very heavy and sometimes very lonely. And when we walk into that room when somebody is sick and we open our hands and we open our hearts and we say, I am here to hold that load with you. I want to feel you, and I'm here for that. I've told this story before, and you may have heard it, but one of the most profound visits that I've had was when I was living in Boca, and I had a patient who she had a liver, she had a liver disease, and she would have hallucinations, and they were very profound. And you know, she was living in a very different reality than everybody else. So I came into work, and I walked to the office, and I hear down the hall, it was an inpatient unit that I was working in Vitas at FMC. And I walk in, and I see, and I hear her screaming, "The elephants are coming." She's screaming over and over, "The elephants are coming." So I put my things down, and you know, the staff and the people that were in the unit were disturbed, and so I said, okay, you know, I'll go there first. So I go into the room, and I'm about to go over to the patient, and her sister walks in. She walks right over to her. She holds her hands, and she says, she grabs her, and she looks into her eyes, and she says, "I'm here with you. You don't have to worry about anything." And she screams again, "The elephants are coming." And the elephants were coming. And she says, the sister holds her again, and she says, "I'm here, and I'm with you." And she calmed down. And it was the most profound moment of really being there with somebody else. Being able to get to that point when somebody screams, "The elephants are coming," and to understand what she was saying. She was saying, "I am scared. I am scared." Now, we can call it elephants, we can call it death, we can call it fear of the medical staff, we can call it whatever is going through her mind. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. What mattered in that moment was that she was scared, and her sister heard that, and she said, "I'm here with you." And she answered her exactly with what she needed to hear. And you know, so very often, like, you'll hear people say, like, no, there are no elephants. Well, thank you. I see you're going like this, like, thank you, like, there are no elephants. Of course there are no elephants. This is she does. And she's scared. She's scared because those elephants and whatever they are in her mind, they're real. And can we get to that point that sister got to? And she said, when I say sister here, I mean she was her biological sister. I work with a lot of nuns. So very often, I'm like, wait, sister or sister, like which one? No, this is a sister. And she felt that, and many of us who have the blessing of having sisters, or who had sisters, we know sometimes, you know, we can feel what the other sister is feeling, but it's beyond that, and it's not just that sisterly bond. It's about being present and really being able to feel the other person. And this is the essence of Rosh Chodesh. And this is the beauty of the gifts that I was given by my father and my mother. And when I look at my father and my mother, I think of, you know, my father of this, you know, this, you know, this Litvak who, you know, like, you know, was, you know, halacha was important. And I think of the chesed that my mother and my father, but my mother primarily, brought into the home, and that everything was like that. And that when you take these moments and you take these objective moments and these objective feelings, and you say, now we're going to introduce the subjectivity. When we can say that we're walking into a Shiva home, a home of Bikur Cholim, we're walking into a hospital room, we're walking into a relationship, and we say, the halacha states be quiet. Wait for the person to talk. And objectively, the halacha is to be subjective, to say whatever the person is feeling. And it's not about where I want to be, that I want to have this great euphoric spiritual moment. It can be talking about Johnny Depp. It can be schmoozing. It can be a life review. It can be whatever that person wants at that moment. But most importantly is to show up and to be quiet. And when you take those and you put that into practice, then you're going to have that moment of really meeting people where they are. So we have a couple minutes. So what I'm going to do is I want you all to take your emotions that we talked about, your feelings that you had from this morning. I want you to take those, and I want you to carry those, and I want you to share those. Those feelings are other feelings that we have in this room, and we all, many of us, are sharing the same feelings. And to recognize that this is a holy place. All of you came here today, and we have a special bond that we were all in this room at this time on this day. And it's a crazy thing, you know. Like sometimes, like, you know, you watch like a movie, and like people are in an elevator, and something happens, and then all of a sudden, like, those people become something together, and there's something so powerful about that. And, you know, like, all of us that are in this room, we all have that together. I want you to take those feelings, the positive feelings, if we're gonna label things, you know, the positive, the negative, the whatever those feelings are. We're going to carry them all together. We're going to share that, and that's what we have. So I want, as we leave this room today, you know, and as we have these little breaks throughout the day, to feel each other. And we are a powerful group of women, and I feel very honored to be here, and I feel like this is going to be a special day with that. So I want to leave you with a bracha and a tefillah that we can show up for ourselves, that we can feel our own feelings, and that we can feel other people, that we can really ask somebody, how are you doing today? And that we can open ourselves up to say, we're here for you. And that doesn't have to be with words, but that has to be with what we're projecting. So, Chodesh Tov, take that with you, and I hope to get to meet everybody here. Go ahead. Yeah. Great question. What's your name?
Masha.
Okay, so Masha's asking for, you know, how do we actually do that? That's very nice to say, like, show up and be quiet, but like, where is that going to really get you to, and what kind of practical advice can we take away from this? Is that what you're asking? Okay, so first of all, the most important thing is to show up, because that's what we need to do. And when you have that feeling that you want to be there for somebody else, it will come. And just showing up is the most important thing. My first Bikur Cholam talk that I gave, I had all these notes on exactly how to do it and none, what you know, the dissection of a Bikur Cholam visit. But the most important thing is to show up. So many people feel like, you know, it's so awkward, you know, I have a lot of teenage girls, so awkward is a great word that we love to use. So it's so awkward, you know, going in, you know, what am I going to say? And like, it doesn't matter. Just go. You know, your friend's brother died, and you should go and pay a shivakol. What am I going to say? Doesn't matter. You have to go, because that's what you need to, you need to go and be there. And I think that if you really have that in mind, that will guide you through everything. And the silence, it's I even more than the halacha of say, of not saying anything in Nicham Avelim, is really what we do say. What do we say at the end? Hamakom yenachem eschem. We have all these philosophical theories on like what people should be feeling and what, how you're going to get through the grief and how you're going to get through the pain and and what should you and shouldn't you be saying? But at the end of the day, hamakom yenachem eschem. Only God can comfort you. I don't know the pain and the complexities of your life. I don't. And even if we sat and we talked forever, and I followed you around for months and years, I will never really know what you are feeling. So the only way that somebody can find comfort is from Hashem. And that's, it's not your job to say the words and to figure out what that person needs. What that person needs is for you to be there. And that's it. And for you to say, I'm here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you the comfort that you need. So I don't know if that's a clear answer. I don't think that it is a step-by-step process, even though I like step-by-step processes. I don't think that that's what it is. How did I choose it? So, well, first of all, I grew up in a home of Kulo Chesed. We lived, you know, as a young child, I grew up in Dayton, Ohio. So if there was a Jew that came into town, we had a rule in our house, my mother would say, FHB, and you may not know what that is, but we all children did, family hold back. And then you let the guests take first, and then you take, and that was how we grew up, and my mother would take me as a baby. She would go to these baby parades. Do you know what these are? That's so cool. My mother would go to these nursing homes and like push us in strollers, and like my father would volunteer as a rabbi in nursing homes, and we would go there for Shabbos, and it was that's how I grew up. And I'm also, you know, it's interesting in Orthodox Judaism, a rebbetzin is a rabbi's wife. So my husband is a rabbi, so I became a rebbetzin, and then as I've continued doing these things, one of our friends became the senior chaplain at Cedar Sinai in L.A., and he said, Aliza, you have to do this, and he was right. And there's, you know, this Christian idea of a calling. I don't think that I didn't hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell me, but I really feel like it is my place to be a chaplain, and it really was the right thing. And in terms of the subjective objective thing, it is very nice, and that I know that what I want to do at the end of our visit, at every single encounter, is I want to meet people where they are. And whatever that's going to be. So I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know. And, you know, as many of us here are mothers, and we have children, and we have relationships, and life is complicated. And you know what? We can have a plan for our kids, but that's not exactly the way the thing works, the way that life works. Right. And we need to figure that out. It was so nice to be here. I really appreciate it. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Last question. So Judy asked how much training you need to do this. So first of all of our lives are training. So everybody in this room is a chaplain, is an interfaith chaplain at every single moment in your life. You know, every time you meet somebody else, that's what we are doing. The answer to get the formal training as a chaplain, there are units of CPE. Each unit is 400 hours, 400 hours, 300 hours in working, and 100 hours of theory. Yeah, and in Israel, it's 2 units of CPE. In America, it's 4 units of CPE, and you learn all the different faculties and the different strengths and from the different disciplines to be able to learn the tools. It is a very special thing. Thank you again, everybody, and Chodesh Tov. Thank you so much. Thank you.